The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the holy gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to his disciples. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. It's Advent, and we're at the beginning. Beginning our countdown to Christmas, beginning a new church year, beginning afresh with a new gospel author, Matthew. But we're also at the end of 2019, the end of a busy term, almost. The end of the world as we know it. No, I'm not talking about Brexit. I'm talking about our gospel reading. It's taken from what scholars call the apocalyptic discourse of Matthew, one of the most difficult parts to make sense of. I always find it puzzling that each year on Advent Sunday, we're introduced to our new gospel author, with one of their most dramatic passages. You might expect a gentle introduction to Matthew, something from the Sermon on the Mount, maybe the Beatitudes. Why does the season of Advent always begin with the apocalypse? Matthew presents us with a series of sayings and parables about an unexpected event. Matthew's audience would have heard these words applied to their own context, Judea and Rome at war, and a swift and sudden turn of events, which, unknown to them at the time, led to the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in AD 70, the end of the world as they would have known it. In these sayings and parables, Jesus was asking them to be prepared for an unknown future in dangerous times. We hear this passage in Advent, and we're reminded that this season is far more than a glorified baby shower, a party to prepare for the birth of the Messiah. It's a time to anticipate the final coming of Christ, returning to complete the work God began that first Advent, nearly 2,019 years ago. When we hear the word apocalypse, our immediate thoughts, influenced no doubt by Hollywood, are of doom, gloom, and destruction. But the word apocalypse is from a Greek word meaning to uncover or disclose something hidden. Rather than being an event at some unknown point in the future, an apocalypse is an attitude, a way of seeing, a way of noticing something about the way things are right now, a way of seeing beyond seeing. A word that might capture this idea is the word enlighten. And here's where the connection with Advent becomes clear. Advent Sunday is infused with imagery of light. Our Advent candles symbolize Christ, the light who is coming into the world. Our collect calls on us to cast away the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. The prophet Isaiah tells us to walk in the light of the Lord. This is the liturgical build-up to our gospel reading. Advent falls at a time of year when the days are dark. Many of us will start our days in darkness and return home when it's dark again. But there's something in our nature which yearns for light. How many of us instinctively open the curtains in the morning, even when it's dark? We yearn for light, and we find darkness threatening. The prophet Isaiah uses this yearning for light as a way of describing our desire for God. This beautiful passage is sometimes called the floating peace oracle because it floats around to other parts of the Old Testament, Micah and Joel. It offers us two ways to think about Advent: light or enlightenment. Light as insight and light as hope. Isaiah describes the Lord's house, the temple, as a mountain, a place of God's presence. It's a mountain that all the nations, not only Isaiah's nation, are drawn to. People journey there because they seek insight, instruction, teaching, wisdom. As they journey, they hear that they must heal their divisions. Instruments of war, swords and spears, are turned into instruments of nurture and productivity, plowshares for the harvest, pruning hooks for the vineyard. This is the insight they gain when they walk in the light of the Lord. What a beautiful vision for a church community, a place of healing, peacemaking, welcome for all, seeking after the will of God, deepening of learning and instruction. This is actually the passage I was asked to preach on when I came to my interview here at Holy Trinity almost exactly 1 year ago. I now see so much in it that can shape our vision for the future of this church. If Advent is a time to seek and gain insight about God, about ourselves, about our church community, we also have to be aware of the things that block this light. Think about light pollution, artificial light that becomes so strong it blocks the natural light of the stars. I think of the light of our screens and smartphones. I think of the information overload we face today, emails, 24-hour news, Twitter feeds. If we're not careful, can't these things block God's light, God's insight? Yes, there's something in us that wants to know what's going on in the world, like the disciples who asked Jesus, "When will these things take place?" But Jesus told them that even he didn't know. About that hour, no one knows, not even the Son. He told them to be content with uncertainty, to give space for mystery, to be alert and watchful, and with eyes firmly fixed on God. Whatever your mountain is, whatever it is that gives you the perspective you need to draw close to God, try to use this season of Advent to turn off the artificial light and give space to receive God's real, true light. For me, this means going away somewhere quiet on a retreat or quiet day. Every time I consciously give that time to God, I go away with insight about myself, the Bible, a problem I was struggling to see an answer to. As Jesus encouraged his disciples, I live with the uncertainty of not knowing what will happen, and I watch and wait for God's insight. Whatever your mountain is, the Bible, meditation, silence, a place, the company of another person, make time and space this Advent to watch and wait for God's insight. Advent light is about insight, and it's also about hope. That's traditionally what the first candle on the wreath is said to represent. We look back at the promises God made in the past, and we take hope in knowing that these promises were fulfilled. This hope is founded on what God is already doing in my life and yours, what God has already done in creation, in history, and in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's how I tend to think about the final coming of Christ. Not as an event we can pinpoint on a calendar, but as a source of hope. Hope in God's promise of a remade world. Hope in God's promise that if we walk in God's light today, tomorrow will be different. Hope in God's promise that the powers of this world, conflict, sword, spear, war, do not determine the future. Hope that springs up especially as Christmas approaches and our human longing for light and peace seems so real and so universal. It's easy to feel cynical about the overhyped and over-commercialized depiction of Christmas we notice in our shops and on our TV screens, and retreat into the serious task of observing a holy Advent. But behind this commercial hype, there is a real human yearning for companionship and harmony across divisions. Behind the nostalgic depictions of childhood excitement, there's a real human yearning to believe again in things that seem impossible to us as adults, like peace on earth and goodwill to all. Swords to plowshares may seem like an impossible ideal, but in the best apocalyptic fashion, Isaiah invites us to look beyond the present and cast our eyes on God's future. Isaiah invites us to envisage the end, the final goal of God's creation, justice, mercy, peace, and an ever closer walk with our God and with one another. In Advent, God's future light gleams into our present. And that's why we do need to hear about the end when we're only at the beginning. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.